Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. The Tano-Jones Revelry may have formed in 2020 amid the dark times of the pandemic, but the band's debut release sparks a ray of sunshine with a foundation of unity. Led by Tano-Jones, the Revelry's Spinning North album came out on digital platforms earlier this year, with a vinyl version on the way soon. Here on Music Journeys, Tano shares how the songs evolved, what inspired him early on, and provides numerous examples on the uplifting power of music. And speaking of uplifting, Tano-Jones has elevated our listener favorite segment, The Fast Five, to a place we never thought of. But we love it, and you will too. Tano-Jones, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, this is Tano-Jones from the Tano-Jones Revelry. The Revelry are all the beautiful things in life that we get for free. Great air, great water. I call it the produce section in the supermarket. Children, grandparents, the best things in life. My musical journey is about celebrating all that we love, that all that's valuable, and that all that gives great worth to our journey.
Take me where you want to. Do with me what you will. Tonight could last forever. So overcome the fear. We try to hide it, but the truth is we got something in us. Combustible, pulling into shattered spirits. No words, no sounds. Just grab a candle and light it. Let's start it up. Set in motion something that will never stop. Get higher, higher, love. Something strong, something from high above.
Light It comes from the 10-track Spinning North release. Though he's no stranger to making music, it's the first for Tano-Jones under the Tano-Jones Revelry. Music became a passion for him at an early age.
I don't know what was going on in the womb or what my dad was, you know, saying or singing. Or maybe it was my older brothers. I have older brothers that are musical, so all I can guess is that when I was in the womb, you know, they were jamming or something with their band, and I popped out and... Michael, I have always loved music. I can remember when I was, I played hockey and baseball growing up, and I can remember these hockey parties when I must have been, goodness, 6 or 7 years old. And at the end of the season, they would always have a banquet. Every once in a while, they'd have a karaoke or they'd have a band or something. And I can remember as a little kid wanting to grab the mic and get on stage and sing. I've always loved it. Born in Detroit, and it's interesting, as Detroit being the home base, I can't help but look back and sort of realize the influence that people like, you know, Aretha Franklin.
Sorry, sorry, and show me the way to get to Soulville, baby. Show me the way to go,
the way to go home.
Show me the way to get to Soulville, baby.
That's where I belong.
Yeah.
You wouldn't look at me and say, you know, here's a dude that's all about Aretha Franklin, right? But, you know, you really couldn't help but be affected by the size of her career, the amount of music, you know, the influence of her sound, of her persona, and really of her love. You know, she just had a big love for music. And the other guy that I talk about that as I reflect, as I get these questions from time to time, is Bob Seger. You know, obviously he killed it, and he, just a tremendous talent, you know, great songwriter, great voice, you know, great leader for so many bands and so many songwriters and so many musicians. There's many others, but those two being from this geography definitely had an effect on me.
Sometimes at night, I see their faces. I feel the traces they've left on my soul. Those are the memories that make me a wealthy soul. Those are the memories that make me a wealthy soul.
Sister bought me my first guitar when I was 16. Taught myself a few chords, and I just started writing at 16, and I never have stopped. It always came natural to me. I guess that's a good word to use. I've always been a huge advocate for what I call the power of the blank sheet of paper and the pencil, or now pen. I write more now in pen than I used to write in pencil. I kind of view, you know, writing, if you will, as a manifestation of laying down all of the incoming that you have been absorbing throughout your life. And I am recently divorced, or over the last couple of years divorced. I've got three boys, and I don't go anywhere without, one, my dog Gordy in my Jeep, and I basically put the seat down and he gets the whole back seat, so that's a party, and my guitar. Those are the two things, Mike, that you'll never find me without anymore. This is my fourth record that I've written and recorded. You know, the Tano Jones Revelry is a collection of songs in a vibe that I created right before COVID is really when I started. I was going to say a snapshot, but it feels more like a novel, right? I mean, after being locked down and going through everything we all went through, right? But yeah, it's a bit of a dichotomy, sort of split by the whole COVID lockdown experience. You'll take a song like Daisy. Daisy was a song that I wrote before COVID, and we recorded it along with my producer, Andy Padlin, before COVID. And, other than a couple little tweaks on the bridge, Michael, it went down really smoothly.
Oh yeah, it's crazy Daisy with love and all of mine.
That happened fairly quickly. On the other hand, when COVID hit, just like everybody else in the world, nights were very long, but sleep was not plentiful. Families were locked down together, a lot of stress, a lot of turmoil, a lot of, difficulty. And I would find myself seeking refuge in my studio. But when I would get there, again, like so many of us, you had to sort of put yourself together again mentally and emotionally to go about your work of the day. So it slowed down the recording process. At that time, there were two songs that come to mind that that I wrote and that came out of the, what's the German, Sturm und Drang, right? The storm and stress of what we all went through. And the first was Days Like This.
such a long way back now. Do we have the will? Can we find forgiveness? Oh, we can save this deal. Oh, Virginia, I swear I'll make this right.
You broke the covenant and we held so dear. Spent a lifetime building through the years. Tore my heart out and destroyed the trust. What now for us?
Oh yeah, they said.
I guess it was sort of a real life. It was writing in real time, right? I was going through a tough time in my marriage, and that COVID certainly helped bring on. And that song was a manifestation of that. And then, you know, at the same time, it gave "What About Me" to me and to us.
Think I'm strong enough to last the journey. Late at night, I hear the cries. What about me and the baby in the bayou? What about me, the catcher in the rye? What about she with that short skirt standing on the renders? She just trying to get by. She just trying to survive.
That song began with that idea about survival, and it really morphed into one of the through lines of the album, which is unity and this idea of we. The C section is typically your bridge, and I remember playing it for Andy, and I was, you know, all proud. I'm thinking, geez, I really nailed that C section. He's like, well, that's pretty cool, bro. He says, but you're not done telling the story. He's like, I think there's something else going on here you're not getting to. And that's really all he said. And, you know, like a little kid with his homework, he sent me out of the studio down the hall to my writing room to go figure it out. I'm joking, but as it was produced, and if as you dig into the lyrics, you realize that it should be titled "What About We?" It's an aspirational song that reflects upon this idea that if you study history, and I guess, you know, going back to high school, I've gotten a little bit more serious about history now, Mike, as years gone on to sort of reflect, right? But seriously, if you look back in our history, our forebears, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, they were tough. When things got difficult, they pulled together. They didn't, you know, they didn't say, what about me? They said, what about we? And that's really the inspiration for what propels that song.
And now that the storm is over, generation that's ever been. Yeah. Humanity laced with destiny. Huddled all together became the sweetest scene. You and me laugh and love the best that we could be. What about trying to get back? She just
just trying to get by.
All together we are one.
She's just trying to survive.
We're all much more similar than we are, you know, different. You can look to Martin Luther King and, right, the content of your character and so forth. Further, I believe that, you know, we all get up early. We all work really hard. And most of us, if not all of us, are looking to help ourselves, but others in our lives. So whether it's a spouse, whether it's a son, whether it's a daughter, whether it's a parent, whether it's a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle, even a neighbor, we're all working. I call it grinding, right? We're all grinding every day. We're all trying to get to a better place. We all want greener grass. We all want bluer sky, and we're all spinning north.
So well said. Well, that your music helps with that. So thank you. And isn't it amazing the power of music? I mean, you wrote that and it came from you in one way. And then your producer noticed something and says, there's something else there. And then so as we listen to it here, Tano, I didn't even realize that it came from a sadder place, because it's such, I think we intake the uplifting aspect of it. And so the listener grabs it and takes it their own way. And then I'm assuming when you go perform it, it's going to feel an entirely new way.
Yeah, that makes me so happy to hear you say that it has an uplifting feel, because at the end of the day, I'm a half full cat, you know, there's so much to wade through every day in life, right? You know, just getting to work, if you're taking the bus or if you're sitting in traffic, whatever it is, just trying to do the basics in life. And so I like to say, we need to look after each other. We need to take care of each other. We need to tend our garden. So the aspirational psychology of that, and the feel, you feeling this positive, uplifting vibe, is music to my ears. So there's this little ditty, I like to call it clairvoyant. As I scribbled through these notes and as I, you know, scratched through the different aspects of trying to find myself and through life, like so many of us do, I thought a lot about that high school, college, 20-year-old journey. And I have, you know, a couple of boys in that age group. As I see them going through that idea of, hey, what am I here for? What sort of work interests me? What's important to me, right? Just about the time you find something that you're really passionate about, you know, there's about 50 people who are coming up to you to say, well, you can't do that. You know, you shouldn't do that. You won't make enough money doing that. You won't be happy doing that. You'll have to work too hard. Whatever it is, right? The clairvoyant came out of that sort of space where people have visions, people have passion, people have drive, and they have love. And very often there are others who will poo-poo it, as my mother used to say, to sort of discourage it. Clairvoyant is a tongue-in-cheek pushback on that.
Yeah, you know I got the plan. The key to life here in my hands. So many shades of gray, so many different ways to live your life. Come on, seize the day, sail away. Let me clear my mind, far away, until the end of time. Sail away. Come on, your life and live it. On Friday night I shine a jack, Saturday I snap right by your way.
You have to be true to yourself. You have to be honest. My dad, who passed, you know, one of his best pieces of advice he ever gave me was trust your instincts. You know, I didn't understand it early on, but as time goes by, now I really understand it. And anything that you do in life, if you have passion, you know, you'll be good at it and you'll be fulfilled. And that's extremely important.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, the reality, you know, where you say somebody will tell you, yeah, you can't do this or that's hard to do, that comes from a love and concern. But you wonder if we just said, go do what you love and what you're passionate about, because you can, things can go wrong and you can fail compromising on something, right? Or doing something you don't like. You might as well do something that you wholeheartedly are into.
Yeah. And you never know the path, right? You think, I think I use that line in the song, but others think they know your path, right? And they think, others will say, don't go into nursing. You know, it's really difficult, but you know, one might go into nursing and absolutely love it. And it might spawn a whole career in to another technical medical field or whatever. I mean, this idea that one passion leads you down a path and, you know, you just don't know what lies ahead. That can be a beautiful thing. Music has been a relationship for me, as odd as that might sound. And once again, as I reflect upon, you know, the different years of my life, I realize that it's been a sort of sustenance for me that has bid me in good stead, if you will. It's part best friend, as weird as that sounds, meaning this idea that you can present ideas and explore ideas, and you have the ability to, in a way, see yourself and in a way, see your community, see the ones you love, also see sort of the documentary-ish aspect of life, if you will, I guess the psychology about everything that you happen to experience at this point, you know, in your life. I tell people that we were put on this earth in a particular history. Here I am back to history again, Michael, right? The class I didn't work really hard in high school, but realizing I dig it.
I'll have to start calling you the professor.
Yeah, right. But I think about, we're born in a certain timeline, and music for me has helped me sort of chronicle so much of life. And in that way, it's become like a writing buddy, if you will, or it's become a best friend.
What a way to describe music. Tano Jones has quickly become a best friend of the show because he's taken our listener favorite segment, The Fast Five, to another level, and it might have to become the standard we strive for with future guests, singing the responses. Here we go. First song you can remember hearing that you loved.
Respect, Aretha Franklin. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take out T-C-P. Should we keep going?
Please, yes. I want you to cover that one, yeah.
Oh, I can't do that justice, but anyway, but yeah. I mean, I grew up my whole life hearing that.
Oh, that's great. How about a song that makes you feel the most nostalgic, sparks memories for you?
Long, long time ago, I can still remember how the music used to make me smile. The American Pie. I mean, how can the American Pie for me, just so many memories wrapped up in Don McLean's American Pie.
Tano, you've started something here that now you're going to have to continue. So what I usually do is mix the original songs in here. But since you're just singing them, I mean, this is fantastic. This is the best Fast Five we've ever had. So please continue this. There's only three more. Can we do that?
No pressure, bro, right? No pressure.
No pressure. Here we go. This is going to be a tough one, though. What's your go-to song for dancing, or a tune that you hear and you just can't sit still when you hear it?
Down around the corner, half a mile from here, see them folks and run, and you watch them disappear without love. Name the artist, Mike.
Doobie Brothers. Hold on. Oh, of course. The Doobies.
Yeah, the groove. Tom Johnson, man. What a can I say badass on the air? I mean, just writer, singer, guitarist, and then they had that, was it San Francisco, that Northern California percussive thing going back, a cooler older tune that I guess I just hit you with a bunch of older tunes, but anyway, some good mojo there for you.
Yeah, Tano, I thought you were hip. Come on, what's going on
Yeah,
here?
right on. Right on.
No, those are good. Those are good. Okay, how about the song that makes you feel like working out or motivates you to do something that you don't feel like doing at the time?
Well, my small home now that I share with my junior in high school, I wake up to Rocky's theme from Rocky One. Can you believe this? My son is an athlete in high school, and Michael, I feel like we're all going back in time, but I've got Rocky's theme blasting through my house at once again 7 in the morning. So I come downstairs and he's, I don't know, he's got a waffle or something going. He says, "Yo, Adrian." I said, "Yo, Rock." But yeah, Rocky's theme seems to be, it's I can't I could lie to you and tell you it's something, hip and fancy, brother, but
That's all right. Well, you got to give me the da da da
Right.
da. Come
You
on.
just did it. You just did it. So I think we're there.
The last one is how about a song that lifts you up when you're feeling down?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Song that lifts me up when I'm feeling down. I love Mark Cohn. When the sun came up, I was on some more after 10 miles on the bus, staring at the stains on the ceiling, baby, trying not to think about us. He's got this song called Paper Walls, and you got to play this tune, Paper Walls. It's an upbeat. The chorus has got a really upbeat, cool, fun vibe to it, and it's actually a great little it's a great little ditty with a great story. But I'll pop Paper Walls on it when I'm feeling just kind of down, and I don't know, something about that kind of gets me out of it. And then there's also a tune by the Subdudes. Is there any cure for being alone? It's called Any Cure. I don't know if you know the Subdudes, but they're out of Louisiana. Really cool band. Yeah, that one particular tune kind of gets me. I don't feel sorry for myself too often, brother, so I don't get down to, I guess we all get down sometimes, but on those few times that I do, I'll grab one of those tunes usually, and it'll shake some sense into me.
Well, Tano Jones, what a treat. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for enriching our lives with your music and with those renditions during the Fast Five. I mean, fantastic. Seriously, though, thank you so much for your time.
Right on, Mike. Thank you so much for having me. You have a good day, my man.
All right, all the best.
Thank you.
Hey, one quick one. Are you planning to tour? You got that schedule lined out yet? Yeah, we'd love to have you in Central Ohio somewhere.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely get that way. We're doing a promotional tour. We're hitting a bunch of radio stations around the country, and after that, I anticipate that we'll be gigging. So I'm definitely gonna come have a what's your favorite beer in Columbus?
Oh, we got Columbus IPA. I don't know if you like the IPAs. I mean, I heard you mention PBR. I don't know. Maybe you don't like the IPAs.
IPAs, I dig. Do you have you got any good porters? Anybody making any good porters down
Oh,
there?
sure. Yeah, we'll find you one.
Right on. Okay. If not, I'll bring some Guinness, and we'll just figure it all out.
We'll keep one cold for you.
Right
Or
on,
two.
bro.
Thank
Right
you.
on.
Bye.
Thanks, pal.
And thank you for listening to Music Journeys, a part of 90.5 FM, WCBE Columbus, 106.3 in Newark, online at WCBE.org, and broadcasting on the new WCBE app. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.
Stay up to date on your favorite WCBE podcasts with the WCBE app, available now to download for free on iOS and Android.